Again, we have the joy and the privilege of looking together into the Word of God to discover truth. And my, are we living in a day when we are discovering truth? I remember a few years ago I was teaching that the Bible teaches progressive revelation. And it says we approach the end of time that God gives us more and more truth from the Bible so that we have a greater and greater understanding of where, of how all of this is. It's interesting as this has developed over the last 50 years or so, and it's slowly on develops just as the sin in the world has slowly developed. I still remember about 50 years ago when, this whole idea of tongues and all kind of nonsense of that kind was beginning to just really take hold a little bit in some of the churches, signs and wonders and so on. And now today, of course, it's spread all over the world like wildfire. Well, it was about the same time that God began to open our eyes to the fact that the numbers in the Bible are very important and very accurate. Even though we had no idea of what Ecclesiastes was saying, that to every purpose there is time and the law, or time and judgment. And time always is a function of numbers. That is, you can't speak about time without using numbers. So for many, many years, it was just a development of time information, number information, learning that a number is a word and that it's always accurate because it came from the mouth of God. And then finally, just very shortly, a few years ago, finally it comes to our attention, yeah, that's what the Bible says, that to every purpose there is time and the law, and God will reveal the time and the law to those who are His true believers, and now it all locks up together. It reminds me of this situation where for a long time I've been learning, and we've all been learning together, that important junctures in God's unfolding of time identified with important feast days, like the Passover or Pentecost. And because we read Colossians chapter 2, and there, and I've read that hundreds of times, literally hundreds of times, and it never dawned on me as to what really God was saying altogether, and until God has His own timetable, you see, for opening our understanding. Colossians chapter 2, we read there verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath." That all has to do with ceremonial laws. Every one of these words have to do with the Old Testament ceremonial laws. And then the next verse, "which are a shadow of things to come." Things to come. And historically, I'd always looked at that. Well, yes, they were a shadow of the Passover, certainly, and they were a shadow of Pentecost, but what else? The fact is, they're a shadow that goes all the way to the end of time, of things to come. All the important junctures identify with these ceremonial feast days. That's why we're not surprised when we found that the time when the Jubilee began a second time and God poured out His Holy Spirit in 1994, the date that we discovered, we weren't looking for it because of the ceremonial feast days. We arrived at this date from totally other information, unrelated information, but we did come to September 7th in 1994. And then when we examined what date that is in connection with the biblical feast day calendar, we found it was the first day of the seventh month, which is a day in which the Jubilee is featured. It was a very, very important feast day. It was exactly the same day, incidentally, when in A.D. 29, when Christ was announced the Lamb of God. That was on September 26th. That's when that first day of the seventh month appeared in that year. And that, again, was arrived at completely independent of, first of all, looking for feast days, and let's see if something in God's timeline fits. First, we work through the timeline, and then see where does it land, and lo and behold, right on a feast day. Well, now there's one more feast that still has to come. And all of the calculations, all of the development of the timeline, we have never looked at the Feast of Tabernacles. Now remember, some months back we learned that the Feast of Tabernacles is actually the Feast of the Bible, the Feast of the Word of God. The word tabernacle is not the usual word that is used that Christ built or the Israel built a tabernacle at Shiloh. That's a different word altogether. This word tabernacle is a word that's also translated booth. And that booth we have talked about in times past to show that it has all together with the Word of God. It's really the Feast of the Word of God. And I won't develop that right now. We have developed it in the past from time to time. It is a Feast of the Word of God. When the Word of God is finally magnified and glorified. That is a feast that is the only feast that also focuses on the word last day. Last day. Now, in our previous studies, in the last couple of studies, we've laid out a lot of time information showing that the end of the church age would be May 21 in 1988, and that would be followed by 8,400 days, which is the Great Tribulation, but we never locked in yet or talked about, what about the end? Where does the end really come? Because we know from Mark 13, we know that there it says in verse 24, but in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Well, when is that? How long is that? And the first thing we have to try to discover is there anything in the Bible that tells us when the last day will be? And now I'm going to follow the principle that the ceremonial laws give us information. How did we read about it in Colossians chapter 2? How did that sentence go? In Colossians chapter 2, now I'm obeying just as God has placed it here. He says here that the ceremonial laws are a shadow of things to come. Things to come. Well, all right, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, the Feast of the Bible. That was observed again and again in the Old Testament. It was clearly laid out in the Old Testament. It is a shadow, that is, it's anticipating the date of things to come. And so far we, in all of the timeline of history, we never have focused, found a date that identified with the Feast of Tabernacles. It has to fit in somewhere. We have to find out where that is. Now, the first big clue is that in connection with the term last day, it is only found 8 times in the Bible. I've said that repeatedly, 8 times. Four of the times in John 6, I will raise him up on the last day, talking about the resurrection of the bodies of the true believers on the last day. It's found once in John 11, where Martha says, yes, Lazarus will be raised up the last day. That would identify with John 6. It is also indicated once in John 12, verse 48, where it says that the unsaved will be judged the last day. Now, that's 6 times. There are only two other places where that term last day is found, both in connection with the Feast of Tabernacles. One is in John 7, where Jesus, on the last day, the great day of the Feast of Tabernacles that was being observed in Jerusalem, and when he was on earth here, he had certain things to say also identified with the end of the world. And the other place is in where it's talking about the Feast of Tabernacles that was observed by the nation of Israel at the time of the dedication of the temple. And it said on the last day, In Nehemiah, they observed the Feast of Tabernacles, and that was in chapter 8, in verse 18. Chapter 8, verse 18. Also, day by day, from the first day unto the last day, and it's in the setting of the Feast of Booths, or the of observing the Feast of Tabernacles. That's Nehemiah 8, verse 18. Well, so we know immediately we're on solid ground when we are going to carefully examine the Feast of Tabernacles. When did that happen? And to try to find out if that identifies with the timeline of history, because it is a shadow of things to come. It has to do with the last day. In order to really fine-tune this, we have to go to an observance of the Feast of Tabernacles that occurred at the dedication of Solomon's temple. It's very important that we have to bring in all of this information. And the Feast of Tabernacles covered 8 days. It began on the 15th day of the 7th month of the biblical calendar. It went for 7 days. That would go to the 21st day of the biblical calendar. And then on the 8th day was a solemn assembly. That was a finishing day for the Feast of Tabernacles, so that actually it took 8 days. So that would have gotten it to the 22nd of the 7th month. Another observance of the Feast of Tabernacles had to do with the dedication of Solomon's temple. And we learned that all the dedication activities of Solomon's temple relate to the end of the world. God used the temples of both the temples of Shiloh, that beautiful tabernacle that was made in the wilderness and finally installed in the city of Shiloh, where it remained for 380 years. And then it was destroyed. Then 100 years later, God began the building of the Solomon's beautiful temple, and it lasted for 380 years, and then it was destroyed in the year 587 BC by the Babylonians. So these are very parallel temples, both beautiful, both signifying very similar things. And we know in the Old Testament that God typified the church age as the building of a temple. Remember, we are living stones in the house of God. When we read in 1 Corinthians 3 that in the temple there are stones of gold, silver, and precious stones, as well as wood, hay, stubble, and the foundation of that temple is Christ. And then we learn from Matthew 24 that that temple would be completely destroyed. There would be not one stone left upon another, indicating that all the churches would come to an end. So God used the construction of the temple to typify the whole church age that began with the Christ going to the cross to be the foundation of the temple and then being built throughout the following 1955 years. And then at the end of the church age, when God was finished with it, it came to a crashing end, and there was not one stone left upon another. But just as God uses judgment as one side of the coin and salvation of the other as the other side of the coin in other things, so he did so also with the temple. For example, when we look at the flood of Noah's day, what do we normally think about? Judgment, judgment, judgment upon the whole world. But was there also salvation going on? Absolutely. In that water that was killing off all the unsaved of the world was supporting the ark, which typified Christ, and in that ark were safe and secure Noah and his family. So there was both salvation and there was judgment. When Israel went through the Red Sea, was there judgment? Absolutely. The armies of Egyptians were totally destroyed. The Israelites went through on dry ground, typifying the fact that in Christ we have had all of our sins paid for, and so that tremendous event was a marvelous photograph, marvelous portrait of both heaven and judgment and salvation. Now, it's also true of the temples. They, as I've already indicated, are a picture of God finally bringing judgment upon all the churches. There was not one stone left upon another. And even as Solomon's temple was a beautiful temple, so throughout the church age, it was a divine organism. The churches were a divine organism, and they had gold, silver, and precious stones in them. They had the Bible. It was a glorious temple in many ways, but it came to destruction. There was not one stone left upon another. However, God also used the temple to illustrate his wonderful plan of salvation, and that is focused on the time when the dedication of the temple did occur, and when the dedication of the tabernacle at Mount Sinai, right, when it was completed. In both instances, we find that there is evidence, there is language that identifies very, very directly with the events that are occurring in our day. Now, in connection with the dedication of the temple, it occurred in the seventh month, and remember that the seventh month is spoken of in the Bible as the end of the year, and all the events that are taking place in connection with judgment began right following 13,000 years. The last 23 years of the history of the world are really the end of the year. It's 13,000 plus 23 years. And this is when all these dramatic things are happening. We're at the end of the year. And that's about the time that our eyes also began to increasingly come open as we learn more and more truth from the Bible. But as we look at the dedication of the temple, there are many and many things that were going on there that we could talk about at length, but I don't want to do it right now. I want to stay with the timeline of history. How time flies. Here we are at a point again where we have to say goodbye. In our next study, we will continue at the point that we have finished today. And again, let us remember that the Bible has been given to us by the Lord, and it is there for our good, and therefore we want to spend plenty of time reading it carefully. Until our next program, may the Lord bless you.